We're going to look at the book of James, James chapter 1, and I'll just read two verses as an introduction. James chapter 1 and verse 2 and 3. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Count it joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. This is just the introduction. We will focus on verse 21 in just a moment. But what a good introduction, and what good advice it is to us at the beginning of a new year. And even as we already know these things, but we do need to be reminded of these things, even although we know them. It's a reminder, and it's a call to action. And in this chapter, and indeed the whole book of James, almost every single verse is practical instruction. It is practical Christianity. And every verse could be a message on its own, but we understand that God's word is deep, it is high, and we can never exhaust God's word. We can never plumb the depths of it, we can never scale the heights of it. Even if we've been in salvation, a Christian for a lifetime, you can have read the Bible for 30 years and open the Bible and see something fresh and new, even after 30 years. The Spirit of God searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. And so now this is the Apostle James. He is speaking about the present condition of these people, and their condition is similar to ours. Their condition is a condition of hardships. It's a condition of trials. And in the midst of difficulty, the Apostle James begins a theme in the book, and the subject is our faith in God. Our faith in God. And our patience to obey His word. And that will produce perseverance, and it will help us to overcome trials, not just to overcome them, but to overcome them with joy. Now, in this book, we see that you can respond to trials in two different ways. So our focus today, the focus of this message today is verse 21, and let me read it to you. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. So if we humble ourselves and seek God's wisdom, seek God's word in the many trials that we face in life, instead of finding them, we will still find them difficult, but we will see them as a test of faith. We will not see them as a negative thing. We'll see them as our faith being tested. And as we patiently obey God's word, our character and our maturity will develop. Perseverance will eventually result in a crown of life. The scripture says that happy is a man who finds wisdom, a man who gains understanding. It is better than the profits of silver, better than the gain of gold, more precious than rubies. So nothing that we can desire in life can be compared to the wisdom of God's word. It is the answer to all of our difficulties. It is the response to every trial that we face. But sadly, there are too many people that when they face trials, they try to do things their own way. It's pride in the heart of man, pride that makes us ignore God's wisdom when he has given us his word, and we reason in our minds and we are unwilling to stand upon the truth. When we do that, it always leads us into compromise. Let me ask you a question. What do you think is better? To trust our ways, our own ways conceived in our heads, born of this earth, our ways which are here today, gone tomorrow? Or is it better to trust God's eternal word, his word that is settled forever in heaven, his word that never changes, and his word that is above and not beneath? So we see very clearly that trusting and having hope in our wisdom is foolishness. It is folly. 1 Corinthians 3:19, "For the wisdom of this world is foolishness." It's foolishness with God, for it is written, "He has taken the wise in their own craftiness." The wisdom of man is lacking. The wisdom of man is so much lower than God's wisdom. Substituting our ways for God's ways is such foolishness. It is even more worthless. Let me show you how worthless it is. If we substitute our ways for the gospel, man's ways for the gospel, we know man's ways cannot save. Only God can save. And we need to trust the living word, not our cleverness. Romans 8 and verse 6. "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." Life and peace. So when we face this year that is before us, we are going to have two paths that we can follow: his word, and that's the right path, or our way, our thoughts, which are vanity, which vanity means that they come to nothing when effort is put forth, or acting upon our ways brings a lack of results. But God's word is everything. God's word is full of life. God's word is full of power. In his word do I hope. His word runs very swiftly. His word melts. The wind blows and causes the waters to flow. Or the snow caps on the mountain, when the wind blows on them, they melt and the waters flow. God will melt all the frozen things by one blast of his. If we are going to excel, if we are going to excel in strength, we must go into this year being doers of God's word. We must praise his word. We must put our trust in God and not fear what man can do to us. His word is a medicine. His word, he sent forth his word, and he healed them, and he delivered them from their destructions. And we have to say, the only way that I will make it is to have his word settled in my heart. The number one authority, the number one thing of importance in my life. Oh, that we would be like Jeremiah the prophet. His word is in my heart like a burning fire, like a fire shut up in my bones. That's what I want. His word alive in me. So this verse that we are looking at, James chapter 1 and verse 21, therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. And as we go through the book of James, we see that there are many names, many synonyms for the word of God, all which help us to understand the magnitude, the vastness of God's word, the preciousness of God's word. So in verse 18, for example, we read James 1:18, of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth. We see that the word is the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures, the word of truth. And his word is very pure, very pure. Therefore, we love it. We understand that God's word, there is no lie in his word. Verse 25, but we drop down to verse 25, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one shall be blessed in what he does. So the word of God is the perfect law of liberty. Another name is the perfect law of liberty. So these verses are full of instruction, and they are full of wisdom. Yeah, we live in this world. We live in a fallen world. And it's a world that's full of lies. You go onto internet and you search something and you see a lot of fake media. You don't know what's true and what's not true. But the truth is, when we go to the Bible, the Word of God is true and it is not a lie. It is absolutely pure, absolutely holy. It is full of wisdom, full of instruction, and it's full of life. Jesus said, didn't he, that I am the way, the truth, the life, and the life. And he said, Jesus said, sanctify them by thy word. Thy word is truth. So if we are going to be set apart for God, it's the truth of the word that will set us apart. What else is that? So God's word is the perfect law of liberty, and it is freedom. Doesn't that mean that we all want freedom? We all want to be free from fears, free from the slavery of sin, freedom from the taskmaster of Satan. And the word is what we need. It is the perfect law of liberty. And we need look nowhere else if we want freedom. Freedom comes from the word. And God's word is not only the law of liberty, it is the royal law. The royal law. And what does that mean? If we're going to be Christians, true Christians, it's not only the Ten Commandments that we need to obey. Christians with meekness must receive and do and yield to the whole law, to the royal law, to all the commandments of God, to all of his precepts, to all of his teaching, to all of his promises. You see, it's not man's word. It's God's word. It's the word of God. And in chapter 3, verse 15 to 17, we see this, that the word of God is wisdom from above. The word of God is wisdom from above. It's peaceable. It's gentle. And if we are willing to yield to it, it's full of mercy. It's full of good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the Bible teaches us that if we say that we love the Lord, if we say we love God, we love His teachings, we love His word, well, how do we demonstrate our love for God? By being doers of His word. This is love for Him, that we obey His commandments. And the problem is that many people claim to believe God's word. They claim to believe sound doctrine, but they only believe in the letter and not in practice. They want truth. They say they love the truth. They say that they love God's ways and they love God's word, but they don't seem to understand that they should be separated from the world. They don't seem to understand that they are set apart ones, dedicated to God for His holy purposes. And if we say that we love God's word, we must be committed to being doers of God's word and God's precepts. So right here, James is addressing this. He's not just addressing the churches, but he's addressing individuals as well, that we must be doers of God's word. I'm sure that you all know the Bible verse in Matthew 4 and verse 4, that man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And we need the word of God. We need to love the word. We need to value the word. We need to make the word of God our rule. And whatever affairs in this life, we must not neglect. Whatever we face, we must not neglect this one needful thing. We must keep God's ways constantly and speak according to His word. His word must be in our heart and His word must be in our mouth. In the book of Joshua, Joshua was to meditate on God's word day and night. And you and I must be careful to do all according to what is written in God's word. Why? For then you will make your way prosperous and you will have good success. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. So we can never depart from God's word. We can never deviate from God's word. And I want to look at three main headings pertaining this verse. The nature of God's word, the effect and influence of God's word upon our souls, and the application of God's word. Let's look at some of the nature of God's word. Well, when we speak of the word, the English for word falls short. What the word really means is it means the speech of the living God, the decree or the mandate of the living God, the moral precepts given by God. They are weighty. They are not just words in a book. It is God's word. And we see that in verse 22, we are told to be doers of the word, not hearers only. And if we would obey and fulfill the law of God, we must do what it says. The word of God, it's the mind of God. It's final. It's infallible. It doesn't change. And the word is living. The word of God is powerful. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. And the word of God imparts life. The word of God was and is our great comfort. But it was David's great comfort. And this is what David said. This is my comfort in affliction, for your word has given me life. When we face trials, his word, Psalm 119 and verse 50, his word gives us life. When we are cast down, look to God's word. Psalm 42 and verse 11, why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for yet I will praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. When we are downcast, we go to the word of God. And it's the nature of God's word. It strengthens us. And next, we see it again, that we are reminded that the nature of God's word is that God's word is true. God's word is true. Of his own will, we see it in verse 18, of his own will he brought us forth. How? By the word of truth. The entirety of God's word is truth. There's no lie in God's word, no darkness in God's word. There's nothing false in God's word. And knowing the truth sets us free. Free. God's word and God's ways are faultless, and they are absolutely pure. So the implanted word, or the engrafted word, it needs to be received. And it needs to be received with all meekness. The implanted word by the Holy Spirit must be mixed with faith when we hear it. And this way, by receiving it in meekness and receiving it in faith, the word will take deep root in our hearts and it will produce much fruit in our lives. And it's the good heart that accepts God's dealings with us. Oh, the evil heart will not accept God's dealings. The good heart receives the word of God. The good heart does its best to understand what God's word is saying. The good heart wants to know God's word. God has begotten us. He has brought us forth. He has called us by the word of truth for his own service. And because he's called us, let us lay aside all the evil and submit ourselves wholly to the influence of the truth. We see next that the nature of God's word is the law of liberty. The nature of God's word is freedom, the perfect law of liberty. And we see this. We know that the law of sin and death is a terrible law. It enslaves us and it pulls us down lower and lower, and it places us under terrible bondage. But the law of God makes us free indeed. And the nature of the word is this: God's word cleanses us and sets us free. The word of God is life. And not only is it life, but it imparts life to us. So therefore, we meekly receive the word. How do we know that we've received the word? What's the indication that we have received the word? It's very simple. I become a doer of that which I hear. I'm a doer of the word. But really, it's more than that. I acknowledge the Lord in all my ways. I acknowledge him in everything that I put my hand to. I include the Lord in everything that I do, not only Sunday and Wednesday at church. I include the Lord in my business. I include the Lord in my dealings with other people. I include the Lord in my whole life. I lean upon Him. I trust in Him. And another way of saying this is, I lean all my weight upon the Lord. I rely upon the Lord. And these are simple things. I trust Him. I have faith in Him with all my heart. But although these are simple things, they are not easy things to do. It's not easy to acknowledge the Lord every day, every hour, every minute. We need to trust the Lord every hour, every moment. Lean upon Him. I was hearing a message last night, and the Bible translators were translating what the word faith was in one of the languages, and they couldn't find a word for faith in that language that they were translating into. And they discussed it, and they had meetings about it, and what they came to for the word faith was to lean your full weight upon. And that's how they translated faith. If we have faith in God, we lean our all upon Him, and we trust Him. And this is what we are called to do. We can't possibly cover all the nature of God's Word. It's too deep, it's too high, it's too wonderful. I suppose even the words that we have are not enough to describe it. But it's so wonderful that He has given us His Word. He has given us the Word of God. And now we move on to, well, let's see what the effect of God's Word is in our lives when we are doers of His Word. What are the marvelous effects? Well, we cannot bypass the first and the most important effect, the number one effect of the Word of God. Is that it brings forth new life, the new birth. And verse 18 again, of His own will He brought us forth by the word of truth. None of us are born again without the word of God. We see a parallel verse to this in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. We are born again through the word of God. And also, that's another name given to the word of God, the incorruptible seed. So it's imperishable. The word of God is never passes away and never changes. The Word of God lives and abides forever. And the Word is full of mighty power, miraculous power. It brings forth the greatest miracle. And the greatest miracle ever conceivable is the miracle of conversion. The miracle of conversion by the Word of God. And it's by the Word of God that we know the Father. It's by the Word of God that we know the Son. It's by the Word of God that we know the Holy Spirit. But it's also, friends, by the Word of God that we know about the terrible fall of man. If we didn't have the Word of God, we wouldn't know. The Word of God tells us our need for a Savior. Tells us our need for forgiveness. It tells me that I will be blessed and blessings will come when I obey his word. So never forget that the word is fully instrumental in our salvation. The gospel is God's redeeming word of salvation. We see it another way. It is the power of God unto salvation. Nothing does the soul so much good as hearing the preached word, as hearing the gospel preached. That's why Satan is wanting to belittle the preaching and make it the least important. But preaching must be central in every church. The word of God must be central in all of our lives. And we must give it first place. We must put the word above all else. And some people don't like hearing preaching that's full of the word of God. They say, no, give us some jokes. Give us some illustrations and antidotes. But don't make the preaching too long. We want to leave time for special items and music and instruments. But really, it's only God's word that saves us. It's only God's word that brings change in our life, that gives us counsel and guidance and strength and wisdom. Oh, we need to give the word number one place in our lives, in everything that we do. Only God's word is a light unto our path. We see this in Psalm 43 and verse 3. O send out thy light and thy truth, and let them lead me. Send out thy light and thy truth, and let them lead me. Let them bring me unto thy holy hill and to thy tabernacles. Oh, there's no better place to be than to be led to the holy hill of the Lord, to be in his tabernacle. And the word that we hear, the preaching that we hear, must be based upon the word of God. And I mention this for a reason, because it's so easy to go on internet and hear something that sounds attractive and can tickle the ear, and you say, well, that's quite good. But ask yourself, is it based upon God's holy word? Is it scriptural, what's being preached? And if it's not scriptural, don't pay attention to it. Blessing awaits those who hear God's word, not stories. And the marvelous effects are as a result of obeying God's word and hearing God's word. And it all begins with the new birth in Christ. And then we learn something about the word in James chapter 1, verse 19 to 20. And I call it the three S's. And wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. And so the word of God, its result, one of the results of the marvelous results of the word of God, is it keeps us in check. It keeps our speech in check. It keeps our mood in check. It keeps our actions, our behavior. The word of God is a mirror in which we see our true condition. And when I look into the word of God, how is my appearance? How do I look when I compare myself to God's standard? Am I one who is swift to hear? Am I slow to speak? Am I slow to anger? We see that the Puritans, They were the ones who always expounded the word and had wonderful points of application. And one of the things the Puritans always used to say was, be angry for nothing except sin. Be angry for nothing except sin. What good advice that they gave that we can apply to our lives. How faithful and how pleasing to God, and how blessed is the believer when they have an ear that's quick to hear God's word. But even more, how blessed when they have an ear that's attentive to God's word, quick to do God's word, and listen to God's word with great reverence, with great respect. Friends, how can we become doers of God's word if we are not even attentive to God's word? We must be attentive to God's word. We must be hearers of God's word before we can be doers. Another effect is that God's word, and we know this, I'm reminding you what you already know, the word of God always defeats the evil one. The word of God always, it's the sword of the Spirit. God's word is the greatest weapon that we have. There's an old saying that the preacher D.L. Moody, the old revivalist to America, he said this, this book, the Bible, will keep you from sin, but sin will keep you from the Bible. This book will keep you from sin, but sin will keep you from reading this book. Well, let us go into this new year reading our Bibles. Let us go into this new year obeying our Bibles. And when we don't feel like reading, oh, I'm tired, I've had a hard day, that's when we most need to read our Bibles. Whenever it's hardest to pray, that's when we need to pray the most. Read your Bible, no matter what your feelings are. This is what the disciples said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. You see, even if we don't feel like it, here are the words of eternal life. They will strengthen us. So in closing, let us just look at some applications drawn from this verse 21. It starts off by saying, therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Lay aside is the first application. Lay aside. Put off. Like a dirty garment. If you spill something on your shirt, you change your shirt. Discard it like you would discard a filthy and a polluted rag that you've used to clean some mess. It's a picture of taking off what is unnecessary and harmful in our lives, and taking off and putting off and getting rid of that which opposes God's purposes. Put aside the corrupt old man. Put off anger and wrath and malice. Get rid of them. Let us not love the world. Let us look at the last part of verse 27, for example. And to keep oneself unspotted from the world. If we're going to be strong Christians in 2026, we keep ourselves unspotted from the world. And if we're going to be strong Christians, we put off everything that hinders and we run with perseverance the race that is before us. We watch our senses. We all know we have five senses. Five of them. We guard them. We watch over them. We are careful what we allow in our ears. We are careful what we allow in our eyes. In other words, we are careful what we watch on the television. We are careful to the conversations that we listen to. Oh, we put off. If we want to have the eternal word in our life, having maximum effect in our life, put aside the old and corrupt man. Let's look at one positive aspect. The positive aspect of that verse, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. That simply means this: receive immediately. Receive immediately. The humble receive. That's a good heart. And we see this in Luke 8 and verse 15. But the ones that fell on good ground are those having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. Oh, have a noble and a good heart. Receive the word immediately. Act on it immediately. And I close with this paragraph. When we are at home, read God's word. And we saw in a previous message that before we read, we pray and ask the Holy Spirit to grant us understanding. But when we read, we should not read in a hurried way just to be able to say, I did my reading today. I read five verses or one chapter. No, we should read slowly. We should meditate upon His word. We should think about His word as we read it. And we should be like the Jews in Berea in Acts 17 and verse 11. They were hungry to learn, and they eagerly received the word. Every day they opened the scrolls of the word of God and they searched the word. Oh, that's how we must go into 2026. Every day opening the pages of the word of God. And I prepared some little bookmarks that we can keep in our Bible. And these are 10 or 12 questions that we must ask ourselves when we read the word privately, when we read the word in our devotional time. There are some questions that we must, as we read the scripture, we must ask ourselves, what is this saying to me? What is it? So in closing, remember, it's not only hearing God's word. Let us also respond to God's word. True faith humbles itself under the authority of the scripture. So today and all the days of your life, all the days of this new year, not just this new year, but until the day you die, desire and choose to submit yourself to the word of God, which implants and imparts life to you. But not only does it impart life to you, the word of God kills. What does it kill? It kills sin. It kills all filthiness. It kills malice. The word of God promotes holiness and godliness. It separates us from this world. It works powerfully in those who meekly receive it, who love it, who reverence it. So hold fast, dear brothers, dear sisters, hold fast and let the word of God work in your life. Cling to it and never let it go, for in doing so, you shall be rewarded both now and forevermore. And then our lives will be fully pleasing to the Lord and bring much glory to the Lord. Amen and amen.